you, Lord Jesus Christ, King of endless glory.
The Lord be with you.
And
a reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. John. Glory to you, O Lord. Jesus said to the Jews, "If I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is not true. But there is another who testifies on my behalf, and I know that the testimony he gives on my behalf is true. You sent emissaries to John, and he testified to the truth. I do not accept human testimony, but I say this to you that you may be saved. He was a burning and a shining lamp, and for a while you were content to rejoice in his light. But I have testimony greater than John's. The works that the Father gave me to accomplish, these works that I perform, they testify on my behalf that it is the Father who sent me. Moreover, the Father who sent me has testified on my behalf. But you have never heard his voice nor seen his form, and you do not have his word remaining in you, because you do not believe in the one whom he has sent. You search the scriptures because you think that you have eternal life through them. Even they testify on my behalf, but you do not want to come to me to have life. I do not accept human praise. Moreover, I know that you do not have the love of God in you. I came in the name of my Father, but you did not accept me. Yet if another comes in his own name, him you will accept. How can you believe when you accept praise from another and do not seek the praise that comes from the only God? Do not think that I will accuse you before the Father. The one who will accuse you is Moses, in whom you have placed your hope. For if you had believed Moses, you would have believed me. Because if you do not believe in his writings, how will you believe my words?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Have a seat. Who has ever found themselves
distracted? Who's ever been distracted? What distraction? What do you get distracted? So you're watching something, mom comes in and says, "Hey, can you," and you're distracted by the screen. Yeah? Who else? Yes.
When you're reading a book, you're distracted by something.
When you're reading a book,
you're reading a book, you're like, you see something fly by.
Oh, right, okay. So you're doing one thing, you're reading like a book, right? And then something's moving like out here, and it's hard to focus on a book, right? Let's do one more from over here. So when your mom is talking, yes. And you're on your phone. Nobody's ever been distracted by a screen, right? Okay. So we get distracted, and sometimes we even kind of make our own distractions, right? We're in class, and we know the teacher's going to be saying something we need to be paying attention to, but before she even starts talking, we start Googling our notebook or fiddling with something inside the desk, right? We create our own distractions. Well, what's going on in the first reading is the people created their own distraction. God did something for the people in Egypt and then at the Red Sea, unlike anything anybody had ever seen before. We spend a lot of time, most of us, praying for things, and oftentimes not getting what we want. We're just hoping maybe something will change. Maybe Dad will get a job. Maybe Grandma will get better. Maybe I'll get the A on that. Whatever it is, right? And then when the things happen, I'm like, well, maybe that would have happened if I prayed or not. But what happened with the people in the desert, nobody could have imagined. God split the sea. I was last week, today, this day last week, I was at Cape Canaveral. I got to see the SpaceX rocket go up Wednesday night and Friday. And it was amazing. Imagine the ocean out there in front of Cape Canaveral. We build a rocket, we think that's pretty cool, right? And God literally splits the ocean in two so that you can walk from Florida to Ireland. That's what the people saw. And still, they chose to distract themselves. So they built this calf. Now the calf is important for a couple different reasons. The first one is, the people back in Egypt, the people where they came from, they worshipped cows and bulls. And it makes kind of sense. Cows can give us a lot of things. But what are things that cows give us? Yeah. Food. What kind of food? What? Meat. So cows give us hamburgers. Who likes hamburgers? Exactly. Okay, what else do cows give us?
Milk.
Cheese. Butter. Ice cream. No cows, no ice cream. I can see why the Egyptians might be tempted to worship a cow. So the Jews remembered that the Egyptians worshipped cows, and their lives were a lot better. They had houses and food and jobs and families, and they didn't live in a stinky desert, and they weren't eating rotten food. And so they decided they'd be like the people. It seemed they were doing better than they were. And you know what? Didn't work, because they made it up. It was something they had made, not something God had given them. So then Moses, we don't get this in the reading. Does anybody remember what happens to that golden calf? What does Moses do with the people? It's weird and kind of gross. Over here, so he breaks it, and then what happens after Moses breaks up the calf? This is a tough one. You get like an extra merit to get it, you know? That's before. That's good. He drops the commandments because he's mad, right? He sees it. So it'd be like, imagine the angry issue. You've ever seen your teacher? You know, she busts a pencil or something because she's so mad. Moses breaks the Ten Commandments. Not like each of the commandments. Like he takes the table and he busts it, okay? And then he breaks the calf and grinds it down because it's made of gold. He grinds it to dust and puts it in the water, and he makes the people drink the water with the gold dust. Now there are two reasons he does this. The first one is, once they've drunk the gold water, they get a little sick to the stomach, but not sick enough to really hurt them. But once they've drunk it, can they ever get that gold back? Once you've eaten or drunk something, do you ever get a point in your mouth back? Not in the way you want it, right? And so they can't ever get their treasure back. They took all their most precious things and made it into this distraction, and now he's showing them exactly what their distraction gets them. You can't ever get it back. But the other reason he makes them feed it, take it into their bodies, eat and drink it, is because the stuff that we eat and drink, even if we work for it in some sense, we go to work, we earn money to buy it, it's always given. We can't actually make the stuff outside of us to feed us. We depend on plants and animals for the food that we eat, right? It forces us to rely on God. Well, this is what happens when the people take in that gold dust. It's bitter, it tastes bad, they're reminded of the bad thing that they did. Kind of like when we talked about rubbing the dog's nose. Same kind of movie. But he's also showing us that ultimately, the only thing that's ever really going to make us happy, the only thing that's ever going to get those people in the desert what they really want, which isn't better food or better houses, or even a country to call their own, is going to be given when God feeds us himself. And that's very important for us today. Because that means that today, and every day we come to Mass, God accomplishes for us something even more important than he did at the Red Sea. God gives us something even more profound. He works an even bigger miracle than he did for the people in the desert. And it means that just as Moses stood in the breach between the people and God, so when the priest stands in that place for us, that God will do something even more marvelous than he did for Moses.